Ahoy there, and welcome to the Graham Lusty Trailers podcast, The Tipper. My name is Darren, and I'm part of the team here at GLT. This podcast, I guess, is to give you, our customers, some background stories, information you may or may not know on a variety of subjects. I'll interview some special guests from a selection of fields in our industries. In this very first podcast, I'll be interviewing Ed, one of our engineers and our resident PBS expert. We have a few laughs, but we really get into the nitty-gritty of what PBS is and why it benefits you, the customer. So welcome to the very first GLT podcast of The Tipper.
G'day folks, time to talk some trailers. Sit back, relax, grab a coffee, heat up that $2 servo pie. Hey, put your feet up. Only if you're not hauling them. Let's all learn a thing or two. Graham Lusty Trailers presents The Tipper.
Yeah, and that's when you chose the slider. Okay, oh, we are live. Welcome everyone to the very first episode of the Graham Lusty Trailers podcast, The Tipper. Yay! Woo! Here we have Ed, Fast Eddie G Greenaway. He's a mechanical engineer here at GLT to explain PBS. So welcome, Ed, to the first show.
Oh, thanks, Darren.
Okay, so PBS, what is it? What does it stand for? And why should you use it?
Oh, so PBS, or Performance-Based Standards. It's a scheme that's all about having a combination optimized to carry a payload along a particular route.
Right.
So since the 90s, the amount of freight to be moved in Australia has been growing at a rate that would see it double every 15 to 20 years. And not much of that can actually be taken away. Not much can go to the railway system, for example. So since the scheme was implemented in 2007,
yep.
Roughly 7,000 combinations have been approved, with just over half of those being truck and dog combinations. And these combinations are better for operators, as they can carry a greater payload, of course, but they're also better for the community, as they're involved in about half as many crashes as other combinations, while also minimizing the number of heavy vehicles on the road.
Yeah, okay, cool. So, yeah, we do see quite a few combinations, PBS combinations, getting around now, but obviously not every combination out there can operate under the PBS scheme, can it? Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so the PBS scheme, a combination is tested against 16 safety and 4 infrastructure-related standards, and the vehicle needs to pass those to be granted access. PBS combinations are designed to complete a particular task to the highest productivity level provided by the infrastructure and network. So a great example of the essence of the PBS scheme were the six 33.5-metre B triple combinations.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Which were operated between Geelong and Broadmeadows for Ford Australia. And so they were probably carrying car parts or assemblies, probably scrap paper towards the end.
Probably lasers, things, yeah.
So those combinations were assessed on their ability to safely and efficiently complete that task.
Ah, awesome. Okay, how long has GLT been working on the PBS space for?
So GLT began its involvement in the PBS space when it became apparent that combinations carrying two 40-foot containers were being granted access along particular routes.
Yep.
So the next big step for GLT customers after seeing that was the ability to use triaxle dollies with tandem axle dolly masses. Mm. Because that was a big concern. Not everybody wanted to go to a tandem axle dolly because you lose a bit of the versatility you might have for your other combinations. So being able to operate your triaxle dolly on tandem axle dolly masses was a big plus for GLT customers. Our most common PBS combination would be the A double, and that's where we see a lot of the dollies turning up. For those unfamiliar, the A double is essentially a road train, which can fit in a 30-meter envelope for a level 2, or a 36.5-meter envelope for a level 3 A double. So that's all good and well, but perhaps we should run through a case study from one of our customers to see if entering the PBS scheme is really worth it.
Oh, all right. Here we go. Let's check it out. Okay, so why don't we compare a HML B double to a PBS A double? What's the difference? And let's check that out.
Yeah. So let's say you're carrying a product into the Port of Brisbane at $23 per ton, doing one load in and one load out per day.
Yep.
Your B double can run at a GML of 68.5 tons, while the A double can get up to 85.5 tons. The prime mover will, of course, have the same mass, but the tare weight of the combination will increase due to the addition of, let's say, a tandem axle dolly by 2.8 tons, let's say. Your fuel consumption will increase by going to the A-double from perhaps 1.7 kilometres per litre in the B-double to 1.5 kilometres per litre in the A-double. So let's say we're travelling 600 kilometres per day with diesel at $1.50 a litre, I think I saw this morning. So your fuel bill for the B-double would be $530 a day and $600 for the A-double. But, I mean, most importantly, the difference, the reason you go to the A-double is the extra payload, which increases from 44.4 ton in the B-double to 58.6 in the A-double.
Okay, so does the extra payload cover your additional expenses? Fuel and
yeah, so there are additional costs going to the A-double, such as often you need to be involved in the Intelligent Access Program, which is GPS. You might need to install some load scales and the PBS design fees themselves. So we'll include all of those to give you the full picture here, Darren.
Okay.
Let's ignore the prime mover for a moment, seeing as that will be the same in both cases. And let's say you're making monthly repayments at 6% interest. The monthly repayment would be $4,770 for the B-double and $5,900 for the A-double. Then, taking all of this into account, your revenue minus fuel and repayment expenses for the B-double would be about 34 and a half grand.
Okay, so having that B-double on the road is making you about 34 and a half grand after fuel and repayments.
Sure is. But what do you think about the A-double? How much further ahead do you think you are with that combination?
Oh, carry the one. Nah, I've got no idea. Well, we all know the A-double was, what, $70 of fuel extra a day? And, well, you'd say roughly about $1,200 in repayments a month. But I think you'll be ahead with the extra 14.2 payload, surely. So if the B-double is earning an extra, like, 34.5K, I'd say the A-double, 39 to 41,000.
Well, you're right, that 14.2 tonnes of extra payload on the A-double does cover your costs, with the revenue minus fuel and repayments each month coming to a total of 48.5 grand.
Oh.
That's an extra nearly $14,000.
Oh, that is awesome. I'm convinced. I'm running A-doubles now. Let's run through a new scenario. I've bought a beautiful truck, say Mack, Kenworth, or whoever wants to sponsor us, and I'm wanting a new set of trailers suited to run as a PBS A-double. What do I need to know before committing to the combination?
Right, so an A-double, as we've said, is a PBS combination. Is that a 30-metre A-double you're after?
Yeah, so let's go Toowoomba, the classic Toowoomba to the Port of Brisbane.
Oh, beauty. Well, so in any case, whatever sort of PBS combination you're after, the first step is to keep an eye out for anyone who is already operating the combination you're interested in on the route that you intend to follow, because that will give you an idea of what approvals might have already been granted. You could also get onto the National Heavy Vehicle Register or NHVR website and check out their journey planner. There are also templates you can have a look at to see if your combination could fit into a pre-advised design category. And that'll fast-track your approval.
Yep.
About 85% of PBS design applications fit in that pre-advised design category. But even if something isn't pre-advised, our industry experience means that we can work with the NHVR and other industry consultants to be confident that we'll get something that works.
Okay, so what weight and access could I hope to achieve here?
All right, so that A-double, which fits into the pre-advised design category, can carry up to 85.5 tonnes, with it also being possible to carry slightly more than that. As our listeners will be aware, the GML, CML and HML mass schemes exist at present to determine the mass that can be carried over a particular axle group.
Yeah, okay.
In addition to this, PBS levels are dictated by the length of the combination. That 30-meter A double we were discussing earlier, that would be considered level two. But you could also have a level three 36.5-meter A double, with which you'd be able to carry 95.5-ton GCM. An issue we sometimes encounter, usually on AB triple or B triple combinations, is that a load height restriction could be imposed, lowering the maximum payload height. That lowers your center of gravity of the combination, which improves your stability, meaning that the combination can be passed. But that unfortunately also reduces the payload you can carry. So you've got to watch out for those restrictions.
Okay, so yeah, well, that sounds pretty good. Let's go. What's involved with making all this possible? Like, how long does it take? Like, say we got the tick of approvals for all that. How long?
So if you don't think there's anyone operating on the route you're interested in, the first step to all of this is to complete an in-principle access application. Okay. That will assess whether the combination you're interested in will be able to travel on the route you're after. And that's a really good way to check that everything will come together at the end of the PBS process without having invested too much time or money. The next step, and where you might start if you're confident about your desired combination, is by applying for a design approval. That'll indicate what masses you can carry overall and on each axle group, as well as any other requirements that could be applicable, such as tires or those payload height restrictions. Once your truck and trailers have been built, they need to be inspected by a PBS certifier to ensure that the combination actually matches that design approval. The certifier then provides what they've measured to the NHVR, who issue a vehicle approval if the combination is accepted.
Okay.
The operator then uses that vehicle approval to apply for permits and access on their particular route.
Okay, so what would the time frame for that be?
So you could expect that for a design which fits into that pre-advised design category, the process could take 2 months from start to finish. For a non-pre-advised design, additional time can be consumed in waiting for the next NHVR panel meeting where the design would need to be approved.
Okay. How much will GLT handle of this?
So GLT will liaise with you as the customer to make sure that you're aware of anything that needs to be added to the trailers additional to what would be the standard equipment level.
Okay.
But you'll be involved through the whole process, but GLT handles the bulk of the liaising with the consultants and NHVR.
Okay, fantastic. I had a cough.
Yeah.
What if I already have a fleet of trailers and say I've been carrying these, I don't really need to buy new trailers, I've already got some, and I want to use these trailers as a PBSA double. What would the steps be there?
All right, so that would be a reverse certification, which involves first measuring the proposed combination as it stands, and then applying for a design approval using that information. So the design approval will then indicate any requirements or additional equipment that might need to be installed on the trailers to make them suitable, like those load scales or what have you. In terms of the timeline of the process, it would again largely be determined by whether the combination fits that pre-advised design category that we spoke about.
Okay, so, right, taking all of that into account, what specific needs and variations do trailers have to have compared to our normal spec trailers? What extras, what bells and whistles do we need?
Yeah, so this is something that's particular to each application and is indicated in the design approval. But usually it includes a requirement on the tires that you have on the combination, whether load scales need to be installed, maybe.
So there's specific tires we need to run PBS, okay.
But what we often receive is a tire chart, and that provides options for what you can run on the drive or the prime mover, for example, and also on the trailing tires on the trailers. You might also need, depending on where you're going, maybe ABS, road-friendly suspensions, GPS, and that sort of thing. But that's all indicated in the vehicle approval, and then some states and territories have their own requirements.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the PBS applications that we have had successful here. What combinations have we worked on, and what have been approved?
So, the most common PBS application that we work with is an A-double, And
hey, that's the one I did.
Yeah, so that's not to say that's the only one we do, though.
That's the only reason I know it.
We also work on several truck and dog combinations, and recently worked on an application for an 8x4 truck and 6-axle dog, so that was pretty exciting. Our A-doubles, though, usually consist of a slider and drop-deck chassis tipper, with the ability to slide the axle group on the slider being essential to utilizing the combination as either an A-double or a B-double.
Why don't we have both?
Yeah, porque nos los dos. To decrease the tear weight without sacrificing volume, you could select a drop-deck tip-over axle instead of the chassis tipper.
Yep.
If you're prepared to sacrifice some volume, you could also go for a straight body, but that's not really very good because you can lose a bit of volume there.
Okay, is there anything else you could do?
Oh, you bet there is. A better way forward, if you've gone with a tip-over axle, would be to remove the subframe and use our aluminium hangers instead.
Yep.
And that can save you about 300 kilos.
Bang, there it is.
Mm. And of course, if the running of a B-double isn't that important to you, then you could instead have chassis tippers, tip-over axles, or a combination of those to provide minimum tear and maximum payload.
Okay, awesome. So we're based here in Queensland, and we did the Toowoomba to the Port of Brisbane. Mm. What if I wanted to run a PBS combination in like other states, say Victoria, South Australia?
Yeah. Yeah, so PBS is a national program, but each state has particular exceptions and additional requirements, and we can go through some of those now.
Yeah, okay.
So Western Australia and the Northern Territory, they process their own PBS applications, while the NHVR handles it for everybody else.
Okay, so pretty much Eastern and South Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
NHVR, right.
So the Western Australians, they're quite familiar with very large combinations, such as quad and quad-axle trailers.
Yep.
And they can provide approvals for up to 23.5 tonnes on a tri-axle group and 28.5 tonnes on a quad-axle group.
Wow.
But, I mean, you've got to keep in mind, prime movers must have ABS or EBS over there, and the trailers in Western Australia, PBS, will require EBS with a rollover stability system.
Okay.
The Victorians you mentioned?
Yeah.
They have the cubic and high productivity freight vehicle networks, which are both for 30-meter A-doubles, with the cubic network having a maximum mass of 68.5 ton.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
No different to a B-double. And the high productivity freight vehicle network having a maximum mass of 85.5 ton. Both of those networks require ABS on all axles and involvement in the Intelligent Access Program. Tasmania, I know we have lots of Tasmanian listeners.
Huge in Tassie.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely huge.
At this stage, only level 1 and 2A routes have been approved there. Sometimes there are bizarre things that come up. In New South Wales, a PBS level 3 vehicle operating on or to the east of the Newell Highway require operator accreditation for the maintenance management module of the NHVAS, and any combinations above PBS level 2B require involvement in the Intelligent Access Program. So there are lots of little things that can come up, but we're well across those, so we can help you out.
And of course, we're talking about tippers. Trailers don't need a tip, do they? We can run at bottom dumps if we want to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. To the side.
To the side, bottom dumps, all of them. Well, hey, I'm sticking with the PBS A-double. I'm set. Ed, thanks so much for joining us on the show. I think we've covered a fair bit of information. Was there anything more you wanted to add?
Oh, well, just let me say thanks for having me, Darren.
Not anytime.
I hope everybody has enjoyed our PBS podcast. It's been a great one. There'll be more to come. If anyone's wanting to learn more, get in touch and we can help you out with figuring out what's possible where you want to operate.
All right. Thanks heaps, Ed.
Woo!
Stay tuned for the next episode. And there you have it. The very first episode of GLT's The Tipper Podcast. I'd like to thank Ed for his time, and hopefully we all learned a bit of information about PBS. Next episode, I'll be interviewing Graham Lusty, the CEO here at Graham Lusty Trailers. We'll have a few laughs, we'll learn about how he started, we'll talk about things with his race car career, where he Bathurst, talk about Brockie, talk about his first trailers, I guess where he drew it in the sand. He was a pilot. So yeah, a lot of information to talk about. Until then, cheers. Bye.